This episode brought to you by Beta Brand, the San Francisco-based source for crowdfunded clothing you can visit in person the next time you're in San Francisco, or stop by anytime online to shop bestsellers like dress pant yoga pants and now yoga jeans. And when you do, use the code SPIRIT20 to save 20% off anything on the site. But that's not the only reason we love Beta Brand. Oh no, our fandom does not stop at stretchy pants we can wear all day, no matter where we are. There are a great many other things you can do on the site, which is BETABRAND.com. Among them, you can use their Model Citizen tool to upload your own photo and then receive a custom link that makes it look like you are the main model on the homepage of their website. It's kind of a fun thing to share with family and friends on social media, leaving them to wonder whether they should congratulate you on your new and unexpected side gig or actually call your bluff. For you designers out there, you can submit your own ideas for new products and actually earn money when they become full-fledged Beta Brand products. And anyone, anytime can visit the site to vote for the new designs that will become the next product sold on betabrand.com. And there's this: when you vote and a product ends up crowdfunded into production, you get a discount. And speaking of discounts, you can always save 20% when you shop the site with the code SPIRIT20. As regular listeners to the show know, we at Spirit of 608 appreciate Beta Brand's support, their support of female entrepreneurs and women building businesses in Fest. We're big fans of the company, what they do, and we think you will be too. So check them out at betabrand.com. This and every episode also brought to you with support from Prestope by the Spirit of 608. It's the new affordable, interactive, and community-driven alternative to traditional PR and media relations built with care by us, especially for Fest brands. Visit the site to find out more about how we're able to bring our members one-on-one help and feedback from media experts, including direct answers to your questions, recommended daily media outreach tasks curated by us, especially with your business in mind, a DIY PR resource library, exclusive media ops, and connections with other Fest founders, plus much more, all for a monthly cost that's less than what a single hour of professional PR or media consulting would cost your brand. So check it out at prestope.com. That's PRESSDOPE.com. Spirit of 608, episode 98. You're listening to the Spirit of 608 podcast. I'm your host, Lorraine Sanders. Keep listening for stories, tips, and advice from women at the forefront of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech. I call it Fest, and it's the future. Hey, and welcome to today's show. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for opening up the podcast. I'm really excited to bring you a conversation today with Suze Summersall. She is the founder of Kira Kira, a 3D design and printing learning platform aimed at girls. Now, of course, anyone can use it. And as you'll hear me ask Suze during the conversation, don't you just love the name Suze? I don't know why. I love that name. As you'll hear me ask her, moms can use it too. So it's open to anyone, but it's really designed to be a place that's going to encourage girls to get involved and learn how to use 3D design and printing tools. And while they don't exclusively offer training for printing fashion-based items, they do have tons of amazing fashion-inspired pieces on the site that you can make, including a ring inspired by Balenciaga, trendy stick studs, you know, the little metal bar that everybody's wearing these days. Yeah, those. And just a ton of other great accessories and pieces of jewelry that you can make, among other things. And Suze, her background is as a designer. She came from the maker world. She was a metalsmith trained at the Rhode Island School of Design, otherwise known as RISD, one of the premier arts institutions in the country. And so during our conversation today, you're going to hear how she went from that background, the maker background, to launching a digital platform that not only trains people in how to use 3D design software and then get what they've designed printed and into their hands as a real physical object, but also does it in such a way that it can reach new audiences that may not have gravitated toward this kind of technology quite yet. She has a really interesting story. And then also, I've got to add, there is a real connection to why I have Suze on the show this week. So Suze and I have a few things in common from our background, which was funny for me to discover when I started to look into her, having her as a guest on the show. She was actually living in Charlottesville, Virginia, where I am now. And about the same time that she left Charlottesville to go to San Francisco, where she is currently, I moved to Charlottesville. So we kind of swapped places. And then we also went to the same school for our undergraduate degrees, Brown University. And so I was kind of like, wow, this girl, we have some funny little touch points in our past that are similar in ways that I don't often run across. And in addition to that, this week in Charlottesville, Virginia, Suze is actually going to be here because it is the annual TomTom Founders Festival, which is an event that takes place during a week in April every year here. And it is this very cool event. I'm going to say it's almost like a mini South by Southwest, where it is a week-long festival of amazing speakers, workshops for the community, bands, food, art, all kinds of different expressions of culture. And part of the event is something called the Founders Summit, which is taking place this week on Friday here and includes some really amazing keynote speakers. I am so excited to go. They include Anne-Marie Slaughter. Remember her? She wrote that amazing story about why women still can't have it all. Dave McClure of 500 Startups. Kim Jordan of the New Belgium Brewing Company. Code 2040's Laura Weidman Powers. The Mighty's Mike Parath, Craig Dubitsky of Hello Products and EOS Products that you've probably tried in the past, Mike Muse Recording, Susan McPherson, Rule 29's Justin Ahrens. We've got so many people coming here that are going to be amazing to hear from, and Suze is one of them, and she and I will be on a panel together along with a number of other amazing women after a screening of the documentary film She Started It about female-led startups. And if you haven't seen that film, I urge you to check out their website, She Started It. You can Google it and you can find it. And they have screenings all around the country. You're definitely going to want to catch one. It is a moving movie. It's a moving movie, guys. And something that anybody who is involved in building her own business should see. So it's a really special week for me to bring a conversation with Suze to you, not only because of what we have in common, but also because of what's happening in real life this week. And I think you're going to love hearing what she has to say and also how her platform brings endless possibilities to an entirely new generation of digitally and style savvy women. Another place that you're sure to find endless possibilities, you guessed it, our wonderful show and episode sponsor, Beta Brand. You can check them out over at BETABRAND.com. Now, why do they have endless possibilities? Well, because designers are always submitting new styles, new designs for cool contemporary clothing, often with a functional twist. And when the community on Beta Brand sees something they like, they crowdfund it into production. And then those items become available via the store as products. One such product that's caught my eye, I don't know if it's the spring in the air, but I keep thinking about dresses a little bit more this time of year, and I am not a dress person. I gotta tell you, I don't love my legs on display. But the Carol Jean wrap dress is calling my name. I mentioned this last year, and you know, not every product on Beta Brand sticks around. Like, they will have some that appear and then they kind of run their course and they don't come back. Well, this was around last year and now they've brought it back in a new color. It is just the coolest dress. It's got a wrap front and a big wide belt that you can remove if you don't want to wear it. But it's got subtle shirring in the shoulders, but it has a nice shape to it. It's like it kind of has that subtle flare to the skirt, and it's something that truly could go day to night. And also, bonus, it has pockets and is made in San Francisco. So check that one out. And when you do, Don't forget, you can save 20% off anything on the site when you use the code SPIRIT20. Stick around after the interview. In the outro to today's show, we'll be calling out some of the top tools and apps members of the Spirit of 608 Fest is the Best Facebook group have said are helping them kick ass in their day-to-day lives. There were a couple in there I've tried, a couple that I haven't. You're definitely going to want to hear about them. And that's coming up after the conversation with Suze Summersall, founder of Kira Kira. Suze, welcome to the Spirit of 608 podcast.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, I'm excited that we're getting to connect. And, you know, listeners of the show have heard about my colossal tech implosion of 2017. And one of the fallout victims of that was you, and we had to reschedule. So I am so grateful to you for coming back and speaking with me.
Oh my gosh.
So,
not at all. I am so excited to be speaking with you. And yeah, that's, I totally get it. I've had lots of tech failures this year as well. So I'm so excited to be connecting with you and all of the listeners.
Yeah, well, great. So I wanted to get started and ask you to tell us a little bit about what Kira Kira is and how it's different from other accessories-based companies out there.
Sure. So yeah, we are definitely an unusual, especially in the accessory space. It's kind of funny because that's where I started. And then the company has really had a circuitous path and is now very much in the education space. So I started out as a metalsmith and jewelry designer back in 2007 after I graduated from college. And I started a jewelry design company. And I actually started 3D modeling all of my designs and using kind of 3D printing technology. And so that's what I did for many years. And then I sort of stumbled upon this kind of realization that there were a lot of young women that were interested in learning about 3D modeling and 3D printing, and began kind of coming up with classes to support that interest and need. And that's where Kira Kira was born, my new company.
So I think it's really interesting that you came from the maker side of things. That was really your background. And so many makers are really tied to staying connected with the hands-on work. What do you think it was about you that kind of kept your mind open to shifting into a more tech-focused direction?
I think for me, I had this realization. I went to the Rhode Island School of Design, RISD, for grad school, and I was just not as technically proficient and capable as a lot of my classmates. Using my hands, I have pretty bad eyesight, and using my hands was really hard for me. And I would sit there and I would try to create beauty. I would have these ideas, these incredible ideas in my head, and then executing them with my hands just never seemed to work. And so it was actually a really frustrating year in that I kept feeling like I was sort of hitting my head against a wall. And then I kind of stumbled upon this 3D modeling CAD class at RISD, and I completely fell in love. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It opened all new doors for me. It was like, if I could imagine it, I could make it. And I really became sort of obsessed with trying to print, see what limits I could push the 3D printer to, the software to, the CNC milling machine. How thin could I make things? How big could I make things? How could I make something that looked completely organic that was actually, you know, 3D printed? So it kind of opened my eyes to possibility, infinite possibility.
So that opened your eyes and ultimately led you to create this company, which at the beginning, you know, I referred to as an accessories company, but, you know, full well knowing that's not at all really what it is. It's actually a really unique model and works primarily with girls. Can you tell us a little bit about how you involve girls in the Kira Kira platform and what it is about the process of participating that gets them excited about technology and tech-enabled design?
Sure. So I think our product is used by both boys and girls, but we realize that in order to have that 50-50 gender split amongst our user base, we had to really be focused on creating an environment that specifically felt comfortable, exciting, and compelling to young women. And for us, what that has been so far has been really having content that was relevant in their lives. So things that they were actually interested in, not teaching them how to make things like wrenches and auto parts, but having diversity of content. So teaching them how to make skateboards or iPhone cases, or maybe fashion, and also having female role models teaching all of our classes. So Kira Kira is a lot about community, the designs that other users are making, the instructors and STEAM inspiration and influencers that are contributing. But that's a big part of getting young women excited and keeping them in this space of learning.
So I was on there before talking to you today. And I mean, I don't know, are like moms allowed to get on there and make stuff? Because
obviously, yeah.
I was watching one of the videos and I'm like, I can make a bracelet like this. It was really cool. And I was able to get to the instructional video training without having to even like sign in. I mean, it was just right there and it was really easy to follow. Can you walk me through a little bit of how you work with them and how the platform works with its members? I mean, at what point do they have to sort of join and how does that whole process go?
Yeah, so we've been very much just interested in learning from our users this past year. We have embraced the startup method of really failing fast, being interested in learning what works and what doesn't work. So we have not had any paywall until pretty recently. We still are very passionate about having a large amount of content that's free. So when you come to the website, you won't just, you know, immediately be instructed to sign up for some sort of subscription. You can always come and take some classes and start learning free of charge without, as you said, even having to sign in. But we are working on a few different like ways that you can have a deeper experience with Kira Kira, and that's through either subscription to all of our classes or our Kira Kira kits. So we have these learning kits that are kind of like a deeper dive into one particular design, and it's something that will be shipped in the mail to you or your daughter or your granddaughter, and it will be, for instance, a Marrakesh hoop earring design. And your user will get a box that has plastic prototypes, and then it'll have a finished metal print, so the final design that's, you know, ready to wear. And then a packet that will lead the user through step-by-step of making the piece, the inspiration behind the piece, the art and design process of creation, kind of thinking about the way I learned when I was a student at the Rhode Island School of Design and how you go from concept to paper prototyping, to the design thinking process of how does this work? How will it fit on the body? Is it going to be too heavy or too light? All of those real world ideas. And then finally, the finished product.
And so if they want to go and create their own, do they do that through Kira Kira, or do they need to find access to a 3D printer to actually create the piece?
Yep. So we will print the piece for them. We just started working with a couple of local US 3D printing companies. One is called Voodoo Manufacturing, and they're based out of Brooklyn. And they will, so basically everything's seamless. The user just clicks a button, and then we have the best and the most cost-effective 3D printer in the country print the piece and ship it in the mail to them. So everything kind of Kira Kira is like a one-stop shop where they can learn, make, and share.
Okay. And I know from talking to you before the conversation that you have some other things that are coming up later this year that will be giving people an opportunity to maybe have a space to go and do this.
Yes. So we're so excited. We're actually just announcing our Indiegogo campaign, and we will be starting the campaign in mid-April, and the funds will be going to maker studios for girls. So kind of like a tech shop for girls where young women can come and learn in a space where they feel, you know, it's very female inclusive. All you know, boys are obviously welcome too, but we found that girls were shying away from a lot of the maker studios that we were visiting. And so we thought, why not make our own? We need one anyway for Kira Kira and our office. And we have these incredible tools of 3D printers, woodcutters that are safe for kids, and 3D scanners, computers, and also just minds. We have on our staff teachers that have taught at the Rhode Island School of Design, at the Fashion Institute of Technology, Parsons. So all of these amazing teachers, tools, and also sponsors. So we have companies like HP, Intel, and Autodesk that have all been donating incredible things for the makerspace. So now we just have to find the location, and we're kind of honing in on a space in Ghirardelli Square here in San Francisco, and then also going to open one in Brooklyn as well. So if you visit our Indiegogo campaign, you can sign up for classes in either of those two areas, or if you're anywhere in between, you can order one of our Kira Kira kits and learn in your home.
I think it's so important, that idea of how the space that these things happen in, like the physical space, looks and feels. And it's this thing that, as you're talking, it takes my mind back to when I was in college, and all these years since, I've always thought, you know, I wish somebody had just kicked me and been like, go take computer science, because it was right at the time when everybody who learned that seemed to have access to this whole world, that those of us who had grown up without anybody getting in their ear and saying, you know, you really need to take these classes and learn this stuff, you know, sort of missed us a little bit. But I remember distinctly one day walking into, we had this thing called the Sun Lab in college. And I walked in one day and it was like dark and like the light was kind of green. And it was just this horrible atmosphere. And the people that went into that as a major in school, like that's what they were in, like 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, you know, and this sounds so terrible now looking back on it, like I just can't handle the way the room feels. But, you know, there's something to be said for aesthetics
about and a making happy people, environment.
Yeah. Just making people feel excited about where they are and presenting it in a way, and not just for girls, but for anybody. And so I don't know, that's kind of my weird story from the archives that came into my head as you were saying that. But I just, I'm so excited that you're going to be the company to try to create this stuff for girls and then also women.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. And I think something that's really important to us is to make it an awesome environment. I wish I could show you right now the pictures of the plans that we have for the space, but it's just going to be beautiful and really inspiring. And I think one of the things that will be the most inspiring is that we'll be highlighting our student-created designs in the space. So there'll be a gallery where when kids make things, they can then display them, invite their friends and family over to see the cool, amazing things that they've made. And in the process, they learn transferable skills in engineering. And the cool thing too about 3D printing and 3D modeling is it's very easy to replicate your pieces. So potentially there'd be a, you know, e-commerce element where they could start selling the things that they've created.
Okay, well, let's talk about 3D printing in general, because a lot of the people that listen to this podcast are, you know, they're really attuned to issues around ethics and fashion and production in general and sustainability in style driven businesses. And I'm curious what ways you see 3D printing being a more positive, ethical, possibly sustainable, or environmentally friendly option than traditional manufacturing.
Sure. So there are definitely different types of materials that you can 3D print in. And I think there is a lot that's happening with printing in recycled materials that has so much potential for the future. And there are also different types of filament that are made out of biodegradable materials that are really good for the environment. So yeah, there's so much possibility in 3D printing manufacturing that I think will be used in the future. I mean, I believe that someday Amazon, everything will be about mass customization, and we will be printing our orders as they come in, and then they will be shipped to you.
Hey guys, I just wanted to take a minute to pause here and say that we have reached a part of the interview that we actually had to edit. And we almost never edit anything out of the interviews except for a few ums, likes, maybe somebody coughing or the sound of a dog barking, if that happens, just to create a good listening experience for all of you. But in this case, I started to ask Sue some questions that were not planned, and the conversation went in a direction that led us to talk about some things that, well, can't be talked about right now. So Kira Kira has some really exciting stuff coming up later this year, and as such, they are legally obligated not to talk about them. And so we had to remove them from the conversation. But so you understand how we got from talking about 3D printing into this next part of the interview that you're going to hear, we started talking about a really big success for Sue's and for the Kira Kira team. And it has to do with her being a participant in the Apple TV Planet of the Apps show coming out later this year. And as we discussed that, we started to talk about success and about failure and perseverance and how so often it looks like somebody achieve their success easily. You know, you never really hear about all of the struggle in between. And sure, everybody loves to talk about failure these days, but even the most transparent people out there aren't necessarily putting the failures on display. And so that's how we got into this part of the conversation. And I really appreciated Suze's frankness about how much work goes into getting the word out about what they're doing. And that sounds like a good place to pick up the conversation where we left off. By the way, if you're super curious about what it was we had to edit out and all of that stuff, I would encourage you to follow Kira on social media. You'll hear their handles called out at the end of the show. And that way you'll know as soon as everybody else knows. Now back to the show.
I am always researching for opportunities. And as my team, my Kira, all of our team members know, I am always applying to things. And we are always getting no's. We are always having failures, way more no's than yeses, which is something that I think people started talking to me about more recently in the startup community. And I try to be really vocal about it to like destigmatize like just the grit, the sheer grit that it takes to be an entrepreneur and the amount of failures that you have to embrace before you start getting yeses. I mean, it's a lot. So I think the more transparent I can be, I hope I can help other people who might be feeling down and feeling bad about themselves because they got no's. Like if you're getting no's, you're doing the right thing because you're out there. And if you keep doing it and you keep working and you're listening to the advice that you're getting, every time you get a no, you'll start getting yeses. So just like, don't give up.
Failure is this topic that everybody kind of talks about and talks about and talks about. And on an intellectual level, it's really easy to say, okay, you know, put yourself out there as much as possible, fail, get used to the feeling, keep going, you know, opportunity will come when the time is right and things are a great fit. But, you know, having gone through an experience recently where like I applied to something to a program for entrepreneurs and was not accepted. And I remember thinking, okay, like I'm going to keep that mindset. It's cool. Like I believe in what I'm trying to do. No big deal. Shake it off. But then it creeps back in and you're like, well, yeah, do I really suck? Like, what was that about? What goes on in your head? Do you have some kind of a thing that keeps you sort of plowing forward when those things happen? Oh.
Yes, totally. It is my team for me. So it's like that your tribe, you know, the people that are around you. And I'd have really low days where I'm like, I do, you have self-doubt. That's normal. We're human. And I feel like I'm, you know, not sure. And I know kind of like deep in my mind, I'm like, I know this will pass, but I'm having a bad day. And it is my team that still is passionate and is, you know, moving forward, excited, happy. You're not a machine. You can't just always have positivity in the face of failure. But I think, yeah, it's surrounding yourself with positive people that believe in what you're doing and help lift you up even when you're down and remind you of your successes because you have to draw on those and not forget previous successes. I think there's also a tendency to always be looking for the next thing and, you know, embrace where you are in life, what you have right now. And that's kind of what I've been really focusing on for me too, is being really happy about this stage that I'm in and embracing like the classrooms that we're working with and that's where we're going to find the most growth is through really being present right now and everything that's happening.
I love that idea of not forgetting past successes. It's kind of reminding me of like the emotional version of Meet Edgar, like recycle that good stuff so that you could rely on it even when the bad stuff happens. And
Totally. Yeah. Like I have letters that kids have written to me and like student designs that I've printed out and parents and teachers and stuff. And I just keep them on my wall. So I look at them when I'm getting low. And sometimes it's like white noise and I don't see it every day. And then it's like, oh, there it is. Like, that's why I'm doing this.
Well, I did that very thing. I'm like a hoarder and I got out all my postcards from people that had written me stuff over the, you know, course of having the show. And I like looked at them and it brought me back to like where I needed to be. So I think that's cool. And thank you for all of that great advice. I want to get into your background a little bit because sure. We haven't really gone there and you were doing, you know, quite a different type of business. And I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about when you realized that you wanted to shift into this new direction with Kira Kira from the accessories company that you had prior to that?
Yes. So I was doing business accelerator or incubator. Probably incubator is more early stage and accelerators are more for companies that are getting ready to scale. So at that stage, I was working on my e-commerce retail business where I 3D modeled accessories. And it's called SueSummersall.com. So you can go to the website and it's still running. And we ship online orders, but we don't have brick and mortar locations anymore. But I applied to Darden, UVA's business school, their iLab, their incubator. And I went in with my retail company and got accepted as a community member. So I wasn't even a Darden student, but Charlottesville, Virginia, as maybe some of the listeners know, is this incredible community of passionate, highly intelligent community members, educators, professionals that are all just really excited to give back. And it's really cool that they allow community members like me that aren't even Darden or UVA students to participate. So I definitely recommend the iLab at UVA. So I went in with my other company and I started working with UVA undergrad students, all female, that kept coming to me, and they were really excited when they found out that I was a designer and that I 3D modeled things, and they wanted to learn about 3D modeling software. And I just didn't really have the time to teach them myself. So I went over to University of Virginia, their aerospace and mechanical engineering lab, and started talking to one of the teachers there. And I was like, there's this interest. And I just had conversations with him. And he was like, yeah, I know. It makes sense that there's interest, but yeah, we don't see those young women signing up for engineering classes. So he got them started taking some intro to learning SolidWorks and other programs. And very quickly, they all lost interest. And they were like, no, I don't actually want to do this. And so I wasn't sure why that was happening because I saw them so passionate. And then I saw them lose it within like a day or 2 days or sometimes a week. And so I went in and started taking the classes myself. And I realized that I learned about engineering and engineering software at RISD in such a creative and inspiring way. And that's not traditionally taught in engineering programs. And so I started thinking, I bet I could work with the engineering department and make some classes that are just different, that just offer diversity of content. They're not better, they're not worse, they're just, you know, different classes. And my classes, I wanted them to be much more visually engaging. I wanted them to be more of this design thinking approach. And I wanted them to feature more female faces and female voices. And so I started making them, and they were really not sophisticated classes. They didn't have any production value at all. And I started teaching them and using them with the girls of UVA community, and then also in Charlottesville at local middle school and high schools, and realized that kids and teachers were liking them. As kind of janky as they were still using them and wanted more. And so all of a sudden I started seeing this interest in what I was doing that was so much more exciting and fulfilling to me because of its educational power than what I was working on with my e-commerce company. And so I started thinking about it more, and I kept prototyping, and I was like, this is something that I think I could try to scale and offer on a national level or maybe even global. And so I moved to San Francisco about a year and a half ago without any funds and zero team, and started pitching my idea to investors, to accelerators. And yeah, here I am like a year and a half later, and I've had so many incredible experiences. We've raised a pre-seed round and have a team of seven. So it's been really cool. It's been so much hard work, and you know, we have to keep working extremely hard to get to the next level. But I think it's been a really exciting path.
Well, this is just so awesome. I just love hearing this whole story and how you have gone from, I mean, you were working on one thing that you were passionate enough about it to go into a program for it, but then the next thing came out of that and you weren't even really expecting it. And it's just amazing. I do want to call out though that you said to me before we got on the show that you've been up till 2:30 in the morning. And I like to point out to people, like, I am not bowing down at the altar of busy here, but I think it's important for people to know that this isn't just like some glamorous thing where you were like flouncing around the country and going to San Francisco and raising money. Like, you're up till 2:30 in the morning, and it is hard work. And I think that needs to be underscored for people who are contemplating trying to do things like this.
Yeah, I think this came at a very fortuitous time in my life. I mean, to be totally open, which I don't always do, but kind of the podcast lends itself well to that, that I had just gone through a divorce. I, on a personal level, was really ready to immerse myself in work and a challenge. And I found that this focus on creating this business was therapy for me, that I could really put all of my energy and time into this and kind of focusing on me and not being so focused on having a relationship was something that really worked well. But also in terms of that drive to stay up until 2:30 in the morning, that goes in ebbs and flows too. And I feel like recently I've had a renewed sense of passion and dedication for what I'm doing and focus. But that took me kind of separating for like a long weekend and being with friends and getting recentered. And I think I was feeling that I was losing my focus, and my friends kind of came in and they were like, "Suze, we think you need to take a break." and I was like, "Okay." And so they sort of made me do a retreat with them, and it completely helped me. And in the end, now I'm like, "Hey, I can stay up until 2:30 all night, all week." Like, you know, it's definitely like listening to yourself and having, you know, knowing that there are ups and downs, even to the amount that you can feel like you can push yourself to work.
Yeah, well, thank you for bringing that out there and letting us into your personal story. And, you know, it is true. A lot of times what people have the capacity for, greater or lesser degrees, I mean, they're different seasons of people's lives and different phases. And you really have to be attuned to what is great right now for you. And it sounds like you've really been able to kind of channel that and use it to your advantage. And I'm also really glad to hear that you've taken some breaks, because
yes,
that stuff, like I said, I think, you know, a lot of this sort of worshiping the hustle and all that, I mean, it can be motivating, but there's also a dark side to it as well. And, you know, one I would not want to see people go down, because I think it's hard to maintain over a long time. So maybe,
and then you can just like run in the wrong direction too. You can just be like, I'm going to work until 3 a.m. every morning doing this one thing. And if you're not like really present and aware and thinking about the bigger picture and getting that perspective, you could be missing out on really what you should be focused on, if that makes sense.
It totally does. So I'm wondering if you have, I mean, with all of this in mind, do you have any advice for young entrepreneurs who really want to go out on their own? They haven't quite taken whatever that step is yet. Are there things that you would want that person to keep in mind?
Definitely so much. I'm trying to think about my story and where, and like kind of the things that helped me to get started, because there is that like tipping point of you kind of feeling like you can do this. And I think it takes, first of all, being surrounded by people that love and support you and lift you up. And I think that having at least one advisor that believes in what you're doing and will be your cheerleader is really important. And then, you know, your advisory board, as you grow and your company grows, will obviously shift and change, and you can take on new people and it'll get, you know, more and more diverse and rich. But just that one person getting started is really important that you can lean on to talk to. And then, yeah, I would say like something that I think is a balance that you might hear about is balance of being a perfectionist and relentless with being obsessed with your product versus just getting that quick and dirty, like getting your idea out there and testing the market to see if there's product market fit. And I think that kind of the latter is more important as an early stage startup entrepreneur. You just have to see if people are really interested in what you're doing, and don't get discouraged if they're not. Have conversations with people about it. Be like, do you think this is a good idea? What do you like? What don't you like? Find out about their ideas all around the subject. And then you'll start gaining customer insights. And then you'll start hearing and understanding that there are trends. And then the awesome and liberating thing about having a startup is that you get to throw your product away. You get to be like, no, this isn't actually what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. And not being too attached to your idea that you can't pivot. like, you can stay for us. We've stayed passionate about education, and that's been our driving force for the past year and a half to 2 years. But our product has changed relentlessly. We've been constantly changing our product and making sure that what we have is something that people want. So sort of that distinction of remaining true and constant to the force that's driving you with your business, but being open to change.
Yeah, I love that advice. And I love the idea that you're putting out there of, you know, the startup is not the product. You know, the product is a tool like to keep the startup going.
You
and to grow.
Are the product, the CEO, the founder, you're the startup. That is, at the end of the day, you are it.
So I have a few questions that I always ask guests at the end of every show, and I'm excited to ask you, are there any tech tools, apps, books, resources, or just a great low-tech piece of advice that's helped you kick more ass in your day-to-day life that you think would help our listeners kick ass in their day-to-day lives?
That's a really good question. Let me see. I think I'm sure everybody, or maybe you've heard of The Lean Startup. That's like an awesome book to read. But I'm trying to think of more kind of just like fun alternative. I don't know.
Is there anything on your phone that you use like every day?
Oh, yes. Slack. If you have a team, I 100%. I mean, I live on Slack. That has changed my life. What else do I use? I'm going on my phone. Kira, just kidding. Let me see. It's something that I do that is maybe like a no-brainer, but really helps me. I've started listening to books on Audible and iBooks. I'm in a book club here in San Francisco, and I kept getting in trouble because I wasn't reading the books. And I was like, I kind of always felt like iBooks were cheating or Audible was cheating. It has been a game changer for me. I actually feel like I really listen and I'm so present when the book is being read to me. So I feel like that's a really great way for me to get centered and unwind. And yeah, so I think Audible or iBook is probably something that I would recommend to people if they haven't tried listening before.
Yeah, I love that. And book club shaming is the worst. You know, get like the side eye and you're like, I have no excuse.
Did it again. She didn't do her homework. Yeah.
So you and I have never hung out in person, although it is weird. We have a strange number of things in common in our background, just given the Charlottesville thing. And then, we like flip-flopped living locations.
That's so weird.
Yeah. So if we were to hang out all day, what do you think I would end up absolutely loving about you? And what would drive me insane?
I think people say that I have a lot of heart and that I'm really passionate. This is what I did a leadership assessment. So I'm like speaking for my leadership assessment recently. And I think something that drives my team crazy is that I can be all over the place. And so I take on too much and I overcommit. And that's something that I'm working on. And I've actually really been focused on doing that the past couple of months and trying to just take on less than I think I can do and then just do it really well rather than doing too much. So yeah, that would probably drive you. Maybe. Hopefully not, because I'm working on it.
Yeah, I have a similar problem. So right there with you.
Ah. So we'll both drive each other crazy.
Yeah.
And then we'll be like, this is why we shouldn't do this, because we're both doing it. Yeah.
If you had to print a phrase or a motto, and I usually say on a t-shirt, but maybe I'll say on a 3D printed object of your choice and wear it around for the next 7 days, what would it be?
Oh, a phrase. I'm looking at a coffee mug that my roommate has that says, I can't even. I would not. That would not be mine. I would say vulnerability. That would be my word that I've been thinking about, and maybe it would be printed on a necklace or something that I would just hide and have for me. But it's something that I'm trying to be more vulnerable and realizing that vulnerable is the new strong.
Interesting. Okay. I like that. So I always close out by asking guests, if you have a question you'd like to ask me, anything silly or serious, I'll give you an honest answer.
What did you eat for dinner last night?
Okay, oh my God, what did I eat for dinner? It's so weird how sometimes you're like, I have no clue. Oh, we had a taco party. My kids really love, you probably won't know about this book because from what I know, you don't have kids. But
taco about it.
So there's a book called Dinosaurs Love Tacos, and it's this hilarious kids book where there's this group of dinosaurs and they have this taco party, but they accidentally eat spicy salsa and then they burn down the house that they're having the party in because they can't handle.
They breathe fire.
Yeah. And so my kids love to have a taco party and put a sign on the door to our house that says stay out dragons. And then we all sit around and speculate about if they're in the woods and if they know we're eating tacos. So that's what we did last night. It makes a huge mess. Kids are not really great at like using spoons to put toppings in tacos, but we do it anyway. So yeah, that is what we did last night for dinner.
Oh, so cute. How old are your kids?
4 and 6.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I'm hoping that they're both future users of things like Kira Kira. So,
well, I would love for them to test it out. That would be amazing. Thank you so much, though. This has been really fun.
Yeah. Well, and if people want to keep in touch with you and all the good things you have coming out this year, what's the best way for them to connect with Kira Kira online?
Definitely. So you can check out KiraKira.com and get started on the website, download Kira Kira, the app, check out our Indiegogo. And then also if you're an entrepreneur or have questions or want to get your kid or your school signed up, just email me. I'm Suze@KiraKira.com. So Suze@KiraKira.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been an awesome conversation.
Thank you.
I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Awesome. You too.
Done and done. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Suze. Thanks for bearing with us during that little technical blip we had there in the middle. You know, I just loved the little part of our chat that had to do with the different seasons in your life. And, you know, we didn't dig into it too much, but Suze shared with us that what was going on in her own life made it the perfect time for her to dive headfirst into a business. And I think it's something to just keep in mind that we all go through different seasons in our lives. And sure, you don't want to sit on something and wait and, you know, fail to carpe diem, right? But at the same time, you also have to be realistic and just know that sometimes there are better times than others to plow full steam ahead. And I was so glad that that made its way into the conversation because I think it's something that doesn't get talked about enough. So a big thanks to Suze for coming on, and we will all wait with bated breath to see what that special news is they have coming out later this year, right? Now, while we couldn't talk about that on the show, one thing we can talk about on the show is the apps, tools, and resources. Members of the Spirit of 608 Fest is the best Facebook group are loving right now. So if you're looking for some new things to jazz up your world and keep you on track and inspire you, I'm just going to run down a few and who they were recommended by. Pretty cool stuff. From Bridget, we have a recommendation for a TEDx talk called Stop Sabotaging Yourself with Debbie Silber. So she's a leading executive coach, and she is doing a talk about how to stop standing in your own way. So thank you for that recommendation, Bridget. We'll put a link to that in the show notes so you can check it out if you would like to stop being your own biggest problem, which I know we can all identify with from time to time. Now, one that I shared that I'm kind of into and that I want to share with you because it looks pretty cool is a new free class coming out from Brit & Co. that helps you learn how to digitize your own hand lettering. So you can write things like with a pen, the old-fashioned way, and then this mini free online class teaches you how to take that and put it into Adobe Illustrator and other programs and then be able to use it as an image on various different things that you're doing. So that's something that many of us I know want to do for our newsletters and social media and things like that. We had another member come into the group and ask for recommendations around SEO when you're using Shopify and other online commerce platforms. Now, this member was looking for somebody that could help her do that. And group member Elisa recommended Rock Paper Copy as a Shopify expert specializing in SEO. So apparently they have basic packages that you can use if you are looking for help in that arena. So Rock Paper Copy, giving them a shout out as a tool you may want to check out. More tools. Sharon recommends Planoly, Planoly. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it exactly right, but it's an Instagram tool and it allows you to arrange plan, i.e. the name Planoly, what your feed is going to look like beforehand. So you can see how the images all kind of gel together and you can get that beautiful looking grid that everybody seems to want to achieve these days. Now, Sharon reports that she's probably increased her following by 400 users since she started using it. So I don't know. That's a pretty good endorsement. Love that. Check it out. Member Dina suggests checking out referral candy. If you're somebody who's setting up a site and wants to try to incorporate a referrals aspect to growing your business, she said she's had good luck with that. And it's only been a couple of weeks since she started using it, but so good, so far, so good. And last but not least, we have a recommendation from Nicole, who is using Tailwind for Pinterest. Now, that's a tool that helps you with Pinterest. And she said that she has increased her monthly audience by 12,000. So that's pretty cool. Just by using Tailwind, she's gone up 12,000 in audience a month. And then also to help her with all things Pinterest, she's been listening to the Simple Pin podcast. Now, this is a show I haven't listened to yet. I'm like a terrible Pinterest user. I have accounts, but they're terrible. don't go check them out. I'm actually, if I ever do decide to revive them, I'm going to take Nicole's advice and start listening to that podcast, Simple Pin, and also check out Tailwind. So those are some tools and tips and resources that I hope will help you out in your own business building endeavors, all from the Spirit of 608. Fest is the Best Facebook group that you can join. You will find a link to the group in the sidebar of the Spirit of 608 blog. So that's spiritof608.com/blog. You will also find a link to it in almost every newsletter we send out. So you can sign up via the homepage of the spiritof608.com site, and you will get a link to that the next time we send out a newsletter, which is about once a week. So I hope to see you in there. I hope those tips helped you, and I know they helped me. A reminder, if you want to support the show, I hope that you will subscribe, leave a review or a rating in iTunes or your favorite podcast player, or simply just tell another person about the Spirit of 608 podcast via good old fashioned word of mouth. Thanks for listening all the way to the end. I could not appreciate you more. And I hope you will join me next time for another conversation with a woman at the forefront of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech. As you know, I call it FEST, and it's the future.